Hello, everyone.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Vimal.
Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hi, Srini.
Hi.
We will give everybody a couple of minutes to join, and then we'll get started. Okay, why don't we get started? Today we had a cancellation, so we've got one topic, which is multi-bin containers. And before we get into that, just a quick note on logistics. We've been talking about doing face-to-face meeting at OpenStack at the end of May. I did reach out to the OpenStack team, and they're talking about it within their events team to see how they can accommodate us. But initially, they were very supportive. They liked the idea of having a joint meeting and hosting us there. So it sounds like if they can work out the logistics, this would be a feasible path forward. So I'll keep you posted when I hear back from them. We're looking into options where we wouldn't have to pay for a pass to join the OpenStack Summit in order to have the ONAP meeting. And one thing they did want me to point out is that if any of you will be attending and do want to attend a day of OpenStack, they will have a day pass, so you don't have to sign up for everything. But I will keep you posted with full logistics as soon as I get that back from the OpenStack team.
Thanks, Chris, for organizing this. If at all, which day would it be if this finalizes specific day?
I don't know yet. They're seeing when they have rooms available, and I will let everybody here know as soon as possible what the options are or option. As the case may be. So, look for email coming up, and we'll talk about it on next week's call as well.
Thank you.
Sure. So let me turn it over now to Srini, Bin, and Izaku.
Okay. Let me share. Chris, do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. This is this presentation is in continuation on you know what Binhu presented a few weeks back. So essentially, we wanted to support you know Kubernetes based remote sites from ONAP. So at that time, there were many questions were raised on missing background and also where does it fit in overall ONAP architecture. So this presentation is mainly to address, to provide some background on why we like to see this feature, and then provide kind of a flow and also where it fits in that flow and what we want to do in phase one of this project. Many contributors, of course, Isaku started this project in Beijing relief. And thanks to Alex, Ranki, Seshu also, who provided quite a bit of feedback, and Binhu, Munish from Ericsson, and Gil from Wind River and Victor from Intel. You know, this slide kind of shows what is there today. Today we have ONAP and multi-cloud service with many OpenStack variations, plugins, talking to remote sites that have you know OpenStack or VMware Bio or you know Wind River Titanium, but they're all OpenStack variations. And at this time, we support essentially virtual machine-based VNFs. You know, but what we want to do is that there could be sites with Kubernetes as control. You know, Kubernetes, even though it was started to support containers initially, it also basically extended, I mean, other companies are extending Kubernetes to even, you know, orchestrate virtual machines. So the intention is that we are seeing Kubernetes-based deployments, especially in edge locations where there is a you know constraint, where there's a constrained environment, and hence we like to support you know Kubernetes based you know plugin in ONAP. And then some more background. Last time there were some questions on you know networking and the storage and compute. So this slide kind of trying to show how the networking today looks with the virtual machines. You know, the bottom picture, you know, of course, you have hardware and VMM, and you know, one can create multiple networks, and you could place virtual machines on multiple networks, and those virtual machines are acting as a router or you know, switches or firewall or you know, IPS or any other VNF. Network function that requires multiple interfaces, each one belonging to different networks. But when we have containerized VNFs, we like to see similar capabilities, you know, having, you know, containers in pods, or one container in a pod belonging to multiple networks. And we also need to ensure that VMs and VNFs as VMs or containers, they all share the same networks to ensure that there is a smooth migration from VMs to containers if there is a need. Okay, moving on. And similar to you know networks, we also need to ensure that storage, self storage, or any other storage also can be shared. You know, among VMs and containers. And this slide kind of showing, you know, when we basically, ONAP decided to use Tosca as the orchestration language. And today it is true that many use cases especially vFirewall, vDNS, and vCPE, they all use heat templates. That was okay because we were only supporting OpenStack-based remote sites. But with containers and Kubernetes, we believe that it has to be Tosca. I mean, it is good that if it is Tosca based, it's a one common language. And within the Tosca, we know that today there's a network service descriptor that could have nested NSTs, and each NST would have a set of VNFTs and virtual links. And each VNFD can have set of VNFCs. And what we are saying here is that a given VNFD can have VM-based VNFCs or container-based VNFCs.
So, Trini, can you go back to your previous slide? So when you say you had pod as this container, you are assuming that they are running on bare metal, or you are assuming that these containers are running on a VM machine?
I mean, it could be both, but our initial phase one, we like to deploy on bare metal, but it doesn't stop these things to be installed on virtual machines also. I mean, in a cloud environment.
Okay, it's not. So your focus is on bare metal, not on virtual machines. Is
that in phase one? Phase one.
That is. I think as we make progress, it's easy to. It's the same. The bare metal is more of a realization, Vimal. I mean, it's just basically how we set up. This will absolutely work on VM also.
Position. If you do it on VM, then it becomes a two-step process. You need to create a VM virtual machine first, and then you say, okay, now I can put some workload there using container.
One thing which you thought is that VM instantiation can happen outside of ONAP. And then you can bring up containers, in which case there is no difference between bare metal and
correct.
Or it could, we need to, so it happens outside. That means you created VM and they are ready to use, or you have a two-step process in SO to say create a VM and then I can use those VM, and when I run out of VM, create one more VM.
Yes, the two-step process.
Or rather, the other approach is, like Srini said, it's independent, and then you create the VMs, right? I mean, VM becomes your host, right? That's sort of actually the standard Kubernetes deployment model. VM itself becomes the host, and you are leveraging it, right?
Yeah, the two-step process, which Vimal, you mentioned, that is beyond phase one. But if you create VMs, as Ramki mentioned, outside of ONAP, then we don't see the difference between bare metal and that deployment. So last time, there was a question that somebody asked, how does the current flow work, and with respect to heat, and this picture basically kind of showing with various relevant components within ONAP. Today, a service in ONAP consists of multiple hearts, multiple heat templates, and each heat template is considered as a VNF, and which will have set of virtual links and, of course, connection points to each virtual machine within that VNF. So when SO gets that instantiation request, essentially decomposes that service to multiple VNF, which are really hard templates. And for each VNF, it requests OOF to get the best site to place that particular VNF related virtual machine. And of course, OOF, with the help of ANI and the policy framework, does the job and returns the best site, and also the flavors to use for virtual machines within that particular VNF. And then SO issues multiple calls to multi-cloud service to bring up virtual machines across all DNS. So that is how it works today. And then what we understand, this picture shows, with respect to Tosca, I know that that work is in progress, that discussions are in progress. With respect to Tosca, a Tosca template itself is considered as NST, which would have multiple VNFs, that means multiple VNFs, and each VNF will contain multiple VDUs. And now VDUs can be VMs, and with this effort, there could be containers also. Again, in the same picture, a similar picture as it was before, except that in SO, it basically decomposes NST and the nested NSTs and gets hold of VNFs of each NST and it decomposes to multiple VNFCs. And for each VNFC, first it has to go and create networks using multi-cloud service. And also it has to create volumes using multi-cloud service. And then for each VNFC of all VNFs, it needs to talk to OAF to get the best site, again, the flavor. And using that flavor and the site, it basically costs to multi-cloud service to bring up that particular VNFC. Assuming that is going to be done in Casablanca, I guess that is the plan in Casablanca. But our focus is that basically be ready with the multi-cloud service as part of phase one. That's where we basically
Is there a reason why we created virtual links before we talked to OOF to say what is the best placement? The 2A and 2B happened before B.
Okay, actually, this is still work in progress, so I do not want to take this as literally. I understand that the virtual links need to be created in places wherever that the VNFs are going to be brought up.
Exactly.
So you are right that OVF needs to be consulted before. There's one more step actually before for each VNF it has to get the best site, and for each VNFC it only needs to get the VNF flavor. So I would say that within point number three, there is some portion has to happen before networks or volumes are brought. I agree with you. Yeah.
Hey, Srini, is this how is this relevant to the container stuff?
No, it's not. We are just saying that this is going to need to happen whether it is container or virtual machines. But we are just showing where does the work which containers of scope is within the big picture.
Right.
And also, Alex, also the idea is to portray that, hey, this is all one common effort. This is sort of not one-off. That's one key message here.
Sure, I understand. I get it. I just want to focus on the container stuff maybe a little bit. But, but you're right. The mechanism is the same no matter what. And just to make one more comment, from a Tosca perspective, from the VNFD perspective as we defined it today, VNFD is entirely VM-centric. So inside the VNFD, we would need to look at how we make extensions to support containers. This has nothing to do with Tosca. This has everything to do with how VNFDs are defined.
Yes, agreed, Alex. So that's my next slide. So this is, since last time where people asked, to provide background and big picture and where it fits, that's why we basically kind of added these slides, right, Alex? So, but next slide, actually, what we really want to do in phase one, this picture is only showing the multi-cloud service here. And then the SO in parallel, the Tosca-based support would be added, I guess. But while that is happening, we don't want to kind of depend on it, at least, the activities can go in parallel. So in the phase one, we just wanted to provide some test service, kind of simulating SO actions to multi-cloud service. So all the green items are the ones, part of the phase one scope. But at the same time, we don't want to change existing APIs in the multi-cloud service. So there are some existing APIs continues to be there, which will talk to OpenStack plugins as various OpenStack plugins as it is today. But in this effort, we really want to go with a model-driven API. So the expectation is that SO in future, when it decomposes the Tosca to VFC, VL, and volumes level, it will pass that Tosca fragment to multi-cloud service. That's why, since it's a Tosca is a model, data model, that's why we are calling it as a model-driven API. And that API internally calls into K8S plugin to basically convert from that Tosca to K8S API. And then since we are expecting the Tosca fragment, so there is a need for Tosca parser within the multi-cloud service, which actually interprets the Tosca fragment and provides some intermediate data, which would be used by K8S plugin to convert into API data, request data. So that's the what Isaku started in Beijing, and we need to take it forward. And then how do we test it, right? The test wise, what we are thinking is we want to show basically both VMs and containers working together in the remote sites. So we already have vFirewall VM, so we like to use that. And then create one router container as a data plane VNF, as a container. And then there are some good containers. There is one open source project called EdgeX Foundry. They already have containers for IoT related items. So since they are coming for free, we thought we will use them. So those are the three types of containers. Two types of containers we want to basically instantiate using this test application. And then showcase that there is a possibility of uniform networking across VMs and containers. And also there is a possibility of IoT related controls can be possible. So that's the kind of idea. And then the last bullet point here is that the site, as I mentioned, we like to use the Kubernetes for both VMs and containers. So the initial thought is that we already proven this internally within Intel Labs. Like we use Wotlet for bringing up virtual machines and Dockers for containers, and OVN for networking. So we'll start with them, and then as we progress further, we can add more and more plugins under model-driven API. So that's the scope which we want to go with. Any questions?
Shrini, just a comment. What we need to do is actually, again, Tosca is just an encoding for a VNF descriptor. I think what we need to do as part of this is to convert that VNF descriptor to the data, right? It's not, I don't want to create an impression that somehow Tosca is not capable of modeling containers. It can. What cannot be done is the Etsy VNF descriptor just doesn't support that. So that's the problem.
Yeah, as part of it, that's the idea also, Alex, like in the phase one, when we do this, we might add something ourselves in the Tosca model, but again, we figure out, these are things need to be done. and bring those things to modeling subcommittee for them to make it really good for containers also. So that's the idea there too.
Hey, question. When you say model-driven API, can you say a few words about what do you mean? Model? I can think of multiple things it might mean.
You know, term introduced by Ramki, but idea is that today, if you look at the multi-cloud service APIs, these are all they look like some incarnation of OpenStack APIs, right? We are saying that we are talking about Kubernetes and tomorrow maybe Rancher and others items there. So we really want that multi-cloud service to expose agnostic to underlying cloud technologies. And then that's why we thought that, why not pass the Tosca fragment itself to this multi-cloud service instead of, defining our own JSON data for passing information. So since we are expecting Tosca fragment for VNFC or volumes or networking, we are calling it as model driven.
But this would be more of a resource orchestrator function like Gil has been talking about, right?
Yes. That's why I'm calling it Tosca fragment. So it's not entire Tosca NST or Tosca VNFD. It is just the information that is there in the Tosca, the small portion that represents the VNFC or the small portion that represents network, the small portion that represents storage. So that piece is supposed to be extracted by SO and call that multi-cloud service API with that fragment.
Hey,
Srini.
And you want to name Tosca-based cloud-agnostic API.
Tosca-based cloud-agnostic resource further decided. resource orchestration API, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
One question is for Viz. Do we plan to really have the multi-cloud to really unify all the interaction between the SO and the various cloud provider, or we are going to have multiple APIs for that?
If you go with the model-driven API as we are discussing for this, it is possible to have one common API exposed by multi-cloud service. And internally, we can translate that into various cloud-specific APIs. So that's the...
But it's not exactly what Parviz is asking, I think. It's not that we translate it. I think the question is that, clearly we're going to have an information model and a data model that encodes different objects that we want to be able to create in an abstract way, right? Generalization. If we use RESTful APIs, we would have to have a separate API for each object flavor, right?
That's right. That's why I said
that's the problem the model-driven is solving, right, Alex? Correct. One representation, and you can translate to any underlying cloud-specific API, whatever you desire.
It's less about the translation. It's more about saying that I have a notion of a container framework, but it might fan out to, but it's encoded inside ONAP in a specific way, and VMs would be encoded in a different way, and at least that's my understanding, right? And so you would have two sets of APIs, ones that operate on collections and singletons of type, container or something. And another one that operate on singleton the collections of virtual machines.
So let me expand on that, Alex. Hold on. Srini, if you look at the COE, the scope of the project, so the SO would basically send the Tosca Caesar file to COE, multi-cloud, slash multi-cloud. Now,
not the entire CSAR, not the entire Kafka template for
this. I'm talking about VNFC at least, yeah? VNFC,
yeah.
I'm not talking about the entire, yeah. The VNFC CSAR now is sent to the multi-cloud service. Now, this is where that the tricky part is. As Alex said, we are not going to really have a common API for all cloud providers. For example, for Azure ARM, you might have a separate API than AWS, correct? You're not going to have to unify that.
Yeah, no. That's where these plugins come in picture, Parvez.
But like, the northbound API should be common and translate those API into the cloud provider.
For each provider type, Vimal, right? So, for example, you can have one API that covers, you know, any vendor, any provider, any cloud that knows how to create VMs.
Yeah.
And have another API for any provider, any vendor that knows how to create a container framework. And we can generalize it and use the approach we've been using in HPA to say it's not a minimum, you know, it's not a minimal API, but it's actually vendor rich. We can do this all day, right? But you know, what we don't want to do is claim that you can use the same API to create VMs on OpenStack and create VMs on AWS, because the level of specification will be very different.
So, Alex, the cloud that is Srini is showing below the box, the multi-cloud box, that cloud is not really a unified framework for all cloud providers. That is like multi-specialized API for each cloud, correct?
I don't think that's a cloud as you imagine it.
What is it? What is that big blue thing?
Oh, it's kind of a
banner. It's a banner.
Connectivity, what? Connectivity?
There's a connectivity?
To pass the APIs. The API from the guy.
Oh, okay. So could you label it, please?
Okay, it's just a connectivity between one app and remote
sites.
That's all.
Okay.
This is showing the use case where we have something on the edge as well. So it's looking ahead, but for now we just need to get the phase one done.
Yeah. Certainly that's the idea. Basically, we want to do this phase one and identify gaps. So if we could define VNFC such a way that it is a common, it encompasses VM containers and in future whatever workload types, then common API would be okay, because that VNFC fragment, the Kafka fragment, that would be different for containers and virtual, for the API perspective.
There is a notion of the location affinity. I didn't know the framework here. For location affinity, are we restricted to putting all the VNFCs for a given VNF in the same infrastructure, in the same cloud, or we allow this architecture to be more flexible?
I mean, that is beyond this particular effort, but you're right. Like, there is something which is today, in the OOF case, the entire all the VMs that belong to a VNF, they are placed on the same site, that is in the Beijing release. But OOF team and SO team are thinking going to enhance in the Casablanca release, where various VMs within a VNF can be placed in different cloud regions. So that is something which they are going, but that's over and beyond this project.
Yeah, I know. So, but could we capture that somewhere?
Parviz, what you're asking is going to be limited by what you can do inside the VNFD specification. system. So remember, it's not just Kafka, it's not the code. We could do whatever we want to, it's only software. But you're limited by the specification of how a VNF is to be deployed, which is specified inside the VNF descriptor.
Just to add to that, essentially, that comes like a service level specification, right? It's how you want the service to be. Then these are all like realization aspects.
It's service and then VNF as well. And you can do can do affinity and anti-affinity at each level.
Sure.
That is taken care at the SO and the OOF level.
Yep.
But the multi-cloud service comes below that.
So what is the form that you mentioned that whereby a VNF could have its VNFCs homed to different cloud regions? What was, you said that was a different project or?
Well, no, I mean
that is part of OOF project. That is part of OOF. Today, OOF is considering a VNF as a single entity and where all VMs of a VNF can are placed on the same region or same site. But there is some thought process going on, or discussions are going on in the OOF community to see to it that each VM is in a VNF can placed in a different possibly different sites based on whatever policy.
And you're saying OOF. I mean, you're saying this the OOF community. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And exactly. And then to add to it, Gil, it's essentially all coming from service, right? What are your service SLAs? And then you start from there, and then you trickle down and say, "Hey, I want to be able have that flexible. I can stretch these VMs or the VNF across and have the flexibility. I'm not going to affect the service, right? In this case."
Hey, Gil.
So.
Yeah, Alex.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead, guys.
I was going to try to give you an example, like a composite VNF. For example, in the case of Volte, if you have Evolve Packet Core and IMS, at the EPC could be located in different places based on the type of the resources that are available in each region. Okay.
Exactly. That's the goal, and that comes from the service definition, right, Parviz?
Yes, starts
with service, and then whether they are self, it's okay to sort of run them on different locations, right?
Yeah, that is based on the model-driven framework. Yeah, in the model-driven framework, the model should be agnostic to the type of the flavor of the VNF component, the service that is offered, and also the VM, the location, and the containers, and so on. So the model should be agnostic to below whatever is happening below that. Okay.
It's neutral. Okay. I would say it's neutral. Hey, Gil, I just want to make sure nobody's shocked and surprised. And I have the correct mental image here. The stuff in green, the model-driven stuff with Tosca, that is part of what you've been proposing as part of resource orchestration, right?
So, yes. So we want to use like a Cloudify wherever we can specifically, right? But there's template level orchestration is the term we use for the orchestration that takes as input, let's say a Tosca template that has many cloud resources and their relationships described within them. Takes as input that template and orchestrates it into a set of commands to like Azure. Give me a VM, give me another VM. That template level orchestration, my latest thinking is that really is taking place in the Azure plugin. But maybe that's what you're referring to the resource orchestration.
I think if we do that, we'll be doing the same code over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So the reason I'm asking is that if you really truly want to pass a valid template mm-hmm. through the multi-VIM APIs, multi-cloud APIs, my apologies, mm-hmm. Then it would make sense to have a single orchestrator that knows how to process those templates. As long as they're valid templates, they have the correct data types and node types and whatnot imported. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why you would want to why you would want to replicate the parser, for example, or the orchestrator for that matter, right? We can actually orchestrate that template in the pure sense.
I agree. I mean, so functionally, I think the Kafka parser should be, Cloudify should be considered a common resource, a common library that anyone can use. So even if SO wants to use it or if DCA wants to use it, that doesn't mean they have to have an instance, right? So even though I'm thinking of the Kafka parser really runs inside the plugin, it doesn't mean each plugin has to have its own instance.
But it's not just the parser here, right? It's also the orchestrator. If we use the ARIA orchestrator, for example, right?
Yep.
That would allow us to create plugins or leverage plugins that have been already created, right? We could actually build an ecosystem around that as part of ONAP.
That's right. Yeah, you just take the
We kind of deliberately not keeping all that in mind, Alex, because at least it's a phase one scope. We just want to move forward. I know that there are discussions on including SO, including Cloudify itself, part of SO, where Cloudify itself has its own multi-cloud service. It doesn't need to use really the existing ONAP multi-cloud service. So there are many things need to be, I guess, finalized there. But currently what we are trying to do is that go ahead with the current ONAP architecture where there is a multi-cloud service. And in kind of enhance that with for Kubernetes support.
Yeah, we can actually learn a lot from what is common and what needs to be reusable and what needs to stay unique by doing that. I'm not negating that.
Yeah. I know there are many moving parts.
I just want to connect the dots to what Gil's vision is, right? Because if we're going to march towards that, then this cannot be marching in the opposite direction.
I agree. But as and when that happens, the decisions are done, then we can retune this to that. But at least for now, we thought that with the existing architecture, let's move forward with this.
Just a question on this vision, Alex, that you're mentioning. So if we have this orchestrator as part of a generic orchestrator that we're going to use. Which is a Tosca orchestrator, how are we going to deal with specifically when things are orchestrated or need to be orchestrated in OpenStack, where there is already an orchestrator there called Heat? You can do both, right?
I mean, in some sense, you can use Tosca as a macro level orchestration and then Heat, in essence, if you really look at its role southbound from SO, it's just a way of encoding batch jobs.
Yeah, but it's the same level as the Tosca orchestra.
Yeah.
Well, but it's, again, it depends on the level that you use Tosca and the level at which you use Heat. You can use Heat workflows subordinate to Tosca or orchestrated through Tosca. That there's already facilities to do that. That's not a big deal. Same way you can do day zero configs from Tosca using Yang, right? Same idea.
No, Alex, the Heat is already present. Yeah, I guess your question is.
So is Cloud. CloudFormation, and so is picking a favorite for Azure and. And so is OpenShift stuff and whatever environments we're going to use.
They have their own, and we're assuming they will have their own translation between the Tosca template that they will get from ONAP and how they implement it.
No. You can have a plugin in Tosca. The idea in my mind would be to have a plugin in Tosca that actually translates the template and the native environment. And if it means that what we need to do is construct a Heat workflow or a CloudFormation workflow, then so be it.
No, Alex, just look at the blue part. If you have an existing API, the blue part, not the green part, the existing API has to somehow get converted to a Heat compatible kind of interface, yeah? Not a green. Green is Srini. You can probably separate that, yeah?
I think the point is that the green API needs to support also the OpenStack plugin.
So yes. That's it.
Yeah,
and if you can make it do that, then you're good to go.
Right. So I mean, thoughts that we've been had recently on this topic is that, you know, the existing API and the model-driven API have something in common. They both take in a template. So if we make that a model-driven API a Tosca template that's input, and you can have a heat attachment to it, then really what that model-driven API, all it really needs to do is, based upon the OOF homing data, route to the right plugin. And the plugin decides, I think, what to do with that Tosca template. Now, I think to Yoav's point, some cloud providers, they might just want the template. Give me the template, I'll do my own orchestration. Other cloud providers might say, hey, no, I have a more of an API-based interface. I need API. I have an API to order individual cloud components, cloud resources, and I expect the client to do the orchestration, in which case that's where I was thinking that, you know, the Tosca orchestrator sort of is in the plugin in that case. It's adapting between the Tosca.
We should talk about this a little bit. Maybe not now. We have other stuff to do, but we should ruminate on this particular point because it's very important.
Srini, the plugin
is the orchestrator, and the plugin in one case can call heat.
But you guys need to understand that, you know, Tosca is not just a parser, right? And the more you let it do, the better off we're going to be, because then there's more commonality. I don't know how many of you were on the data modeling call where Anatoly was presenting model-driven orchestration 101. And, you know, what I see, you know, what I saw there was kind of like, okay, if we can do everything based on you know, one consistent way, then that benefits us, right? As opposed to repeating it, you know, N times.
Does it make sense to have, let me ask you this, Alex, because does it make sense to have levels of task orchestration, or is that?
Yes, because we're going to have regional orchestrators and global orchestrators, right? So to me, at the DSO level, we really have no idea, you know, how spread the VNF deployment has to be. Like if you look at some of the VNFs that do IMS, right, there are companies that have geo-distributed VNFs like Metaswitch, right? So
Alex and everybody, I think we are I think discussing even bigger things here in this, as part of this. I just want to basically ensure that we're on the same page and you're okay to start this particular phase. Yeah. And if so, we just want, you know, some kind of approval and then approval to create, you know, repository.
On slide eight, we can start. Make sure my understanding of slide 8 was right. So so where it says the model-driven API, Tosca fragments in API, What is the northbound of the API that you're assuming? Is it a Tosca template that's being passed along with some data that goes along with it? Is that the idea, or what is the?
Yeah, it's a kind of RESTful API which would have a Tosca fragment as one of the of the variables, and then also, as you said, some site on which to place and things like that.
Assignments that have been gathered from SDNC, like IP addresses, things like that.
Yeah.
Model together. Okay.
Yeah. Information that's coming from OOF. Yeah. Those are the things which will be passed to multi-cloud service.
Okay.
Hey, Srini, the plugin, hold on. The plugin, the Kubernetes plugin, you said that work is already happening or that is partially done in ONAP? Could you elaborate on that?
I mean, Isaku, not sure whether he's on the call, but he started some work. But I would say that it's very, very, very preliminary work. But let's assume that we need to really start that work as part of Casablanca in this, as part of this phase one scope.
Why we want to tie that to multi-cloud? That would be like
No, that was the agreement up to this point, that we were going to attach Kubernetes for VNFs into multi-cloud.
But we are changing it, or we are open to re-up?
No, this is the deployment.
Well, but in some sense, these guys are going down a parallel path. Yes, it's part of the multi-cloud service, but in order to be more agile, I wonder if this could be a separate project that just makes use of other multi-cloud facilities, but actually can have its own namespace and its own repos, and not have to be in lockstep with the other work.
Yeah, technically speaking, I agree with that view. My personal view, okay. But Chris, this is for now. This is the agreement at the TSC level or at the ARC level. Yeah,
that's right. It is from the TSC level, and for the time being, to get the work going, that's how it's going to have to be at present. We can talk about this again at Casablanca if something else makes more sense, but for now, that's correct. And then just one other thing on the Tosca parser, I see that you're trying to bring in the version from OPNFE, and we already have 4 parsers inside ONAP. Including one in Python. Would it be possible to reuse one of the existing ones rather than introduce a 5th?
Yeah, it is actually whatever. I think somebody calls it as an NFE parser. So that's also OPNFE Tosca parser. So both are same. I think VFC uses the same OPNFE Tosca parser.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to make sure we're not introducing a 5th. Version.
Let's try to keep it generic and common between the components too, if we can. I don't know if we have a dominant one, but let's.
I understand that there is. Actually, we're also thinking internally whether to use ARIA Tosca parser, and if we will do some study and then get back. But at this time. The work started by Isaku is based on the 2 OPNFE Tosca parser, but we will we'll come back on
whatever you do. The thing to keep in mind is that the parser has to be able to parse 1.1 version of the grammar.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, yep. And it's got to be, it has to adhere to that grammar, right? That's very important.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Okay. So what I'm hearing from the team is that this proposal fits with the existing architecture, and it seems like it's baked enough to move forward an experimental version in preparation for Casablanca. Did I hear that correctly? Does anyone have any concerns?
I would agree with that.
Okay, and Jinhui, anything from you? Any concerns about moving forward with this?
We will follow up the suggestions from the subcommittee of the architecture.
Okay. So
are these slides available on?
I'll upload them.
Perfect. So in terms of formality, the architecture team can recommend, but not officially approve. The approval would be handled by Gilda, and also would need to be supported by Xinhui for creating the repo. I think if we've reached that consensus on this call, I'd suggest moving forward with that. And then this is for the Casablanca release and won't affect the Beijing deliverables for RC0 through the release for the multi-cloud project.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, it doesn't affect the Beijing release.
Chris, one comment, Chris. Mm-hmm. This part is. Okay, for Casablanca, the scope of the multi-cloud is going to include all this, the detail of that connectivity from various cloud provider, or you're going to make it flexible and open?
They have to work on that and come back to the TSC with their proposal. So I don't want to tie this too closely to Casablanca, because we want to give all the teams time to go through their planning process. And then also from the architecture side, if there are recommendations from us, we want to make sure that we get that to the teams in a timely fashion.
Okay. Sure.
Mm-hmm. One more comment.
Okay, thank you.
One more comment. I'll talk to Zinvi and Darky to create the repository.
Thank you.
Okay, hold on. I hear one more person trying to get in.
Yeah, sorry. One more comment. Since, as you mentioned, there are a number of existing VNFs in HEAT templates, is it possible to add a couple of slides on how one would migrate those templates to Tosca, that mapping, whether it is done manually or automatically?
I mean, that is, I mean, we can do that, but that's outside of this, right? I mean, that's a generic request you are making.
Yeah.
So yes, it's not part of the work. I would say it's part maybe of this presentation, if possible.
It goes beyond the scope just of multi-cloud. What we've been doing up to this point is just making tools available to the VNF vendors to do their own conversion to Tosca, but not essentially doing a migration inside of ONAP.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's important to emphasize the existing API is not deprecated by any means, right? It continues to work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Actually, I want to say, you know, if we want, you know, create this repo, I would help. But I would suggest, you know, based on today's discussion, I would suggest, you know, the repo will not be the part of the main branch. But we will, you know, provide the basic foundation to support this experiment work. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, that's why we want the separate repository, Quinvi, so that we don't, impact any other things in Beijing or even Casablanca. So until we do this testing properly, we won't make it part of the
release. Yeah, that's the reason why I suggest that. This will be very good, you can understand.
Yes, yeah. That's the idea for the new repository.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Let's see, we're running a little ahead.
And we will get the repo created, okay? Give me the specifics when we get started.
What is it? I couldn't hear that.
That was Gilda, I believe, saying that he would get the repo started.
Oh, great. Thank
yes.
you.
Once I get a specific from Jingri, I will get started on that. Okay.
Okay.
So, Jingri, can you just send Gilda an email with the specifics, and then he can work that with LF? Thank you.
Sure.
So I want to spend just a few minutes back on this slide. We had a cancellation today, so we do have some extra time in the agenda. And I wanted to just go back to this and see if anyone else wanted to schedule. Currently, I have next week about half full. If anyone wants to do a presentation on our next call, the week following is completely open as well if other people want to start planning things.
Chris, I talked to the leader of the Clover project.
Yes.
I don't know if did you get the update? Do you think that's the right timing to have the folks to make a presentation to ARC on the Clover project?
I do, and I think it would be great, Ramke, if you're almost ready with your Edge presentation, if we and service mesh, if we could do that at the same time, because then we'd have the two service mesh projects coming in together.
Oh, the Clover is from OPNFE, Chris?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Next week, and are we thinking next week?
Ideally,
yeah,
if that works
for
you.
ASAP, yeah.
I probably, because I do want to make sure that, I mean, since there is a broader interest, make sure that I sync up with the team. So I think 24th would be better for me, the way it's looking okay. Right now.
Okay. So I can put you down for that. We can try to schedule the OPNFE team for the same time. Does anyone else want to present next week's call? How about
Chris, this is Mesa. You have me on the agenda, right?
Yes, I already have you on. I think you're up first. Let's see, is the OOM team on? Do you want to talk about the database harmonization and the Helm charts? Okay. That's it. Okay. So we'll take this to the email list. And if you do have presentations that you want in the next couple of weeks, please let me know. Please respond to the email, and I will get you scheduled. Generally speaking, the times are filling up. Every once in a while, we do have a cancellation. But if you are working on a presentation, let me know, and we'll get you in the next 2 weeks.
One question, Chris.
Yes.
On your recommendation last time, the slide that you presented,
yep.
You identified a number of those new projects and in which order the ARC should really have the people to present them. Do you have plan for that? Because in the use case subcommittee, we are already in the process of debating and evaluating the requirement, various requirements, okay? Now, there should be a coordination between the use case requirement and the architecture discussion, or no? These are in sequence or what?
They're going on in parallel right now, and we'll sync up closer to the release. But this is the list of priorities that come from the deployability focus. So we have actually been making pretty good progress going through this list. There are a couple of presentations that we haven't had yet, about half. So for those teams who are interested, I do want to get those scheduled. But we have some good progress going for a number of the other ones.
So on number one, can we have a slot for the following week?
So not next week, but the 24th?
Yeah, the week, 2 weeks from today.
Okay. I can put you down there. Anyone else while we're on this? Okay. I'll take this to the email list and we'll move forward from there. So that's all I have for today. Anything from the community before we break a little early?
I just have a thought. I don't know if there is a page or not, but isn't it good to have a wiki page that lists all the proposals and the requirements and everything at the top level that's going on in Casablanca? I don't, or do we want to go with PowerPoints? I'm thinking a wiki page that would then point to effective use cases and projects and all that.
Actually, I'm tracking this on Jira, and I can show you that in a second. Let me flip over. Oops. So we have a bunch of tickets for all those items that you saw listed on that slide. Currently, they're set in the backlog. And when people sign up for a slot, then I just drag that in and I can put it in either the current week or the week after. But if you go to JIRA and you select the ARC board, ARC meetings board, then all the tickets are in there.
Okay, that's great. Thanks.
Sure.
And we are going to use JIRA going forward to track all the proposals and requirements and everything?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll put it up on the notes page after the calls, linking to the main architecture subcommittee page. So yes, everything will be listed there. And then we've got all the tickets for everything that we're working on.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sure. Anything else before we break? Okay, thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.